Ladies and gentlemen,
this DJ Shab, the hottest DJ in the South right now, and you are now tuned in to Tia versus Fancy Cash Podcast. And I'm telling you, it's about to go down, down, down.
Welcome back to another episode of the I Am The Prize Podcast. So, you know, we've been doing our thing with these episodes the last couple of weeks for season 6, and the response has been amazing. So make sure if y'all are loving these episodes, y'all leave reviews for us on the Apple Podcast app. So today's topic, we'll be talking about transitioning from your 9-to-5 into full-time entrepreneurship. And I have a very special guest, Miss Tanisha Tutt. I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Hey, y'all. I am Tanisha Tutt, realtor at Occupy Real Estate Group, soon to be broker at Occupy Real Estate Group. And I'm also a travel agent, and I'm also an event coordinator with my own businesses.
Okay, you sound like a very, very busy woman. What they say, y'all, one stream of income is too close to none. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Miss Multiple Streams, we see you. Okay, so let me give y'all a little backstory about me and Tanisha's relationship, y'all. So she is, well, has become one of my favorite people.
It is.
I am one of her mom's favorite daughters. I am her grandma's favorite grandchild. I am her, is it the second oldest? Is Shabarsh the second
oldest? Yes, second oldest. But who told you this?
I am the second oldest, her second oldest brother, favorite sister. So it's like, she's one of my favorite people because I had to replace her and be her family's favorite.
Oh, Lord. Why are you going here lying to these people already?
No, because it's the truth. It's the truth. So, and I love that about my friendships. You know how friendships turn into family. It means the most to me. If y'all come to Manifesting Over Mimosas every year, Occupy Real Estate Group has been one of our biggest sponsors each and every year to make MOM possible and the evolution of MOM. So I'm going to always put their name on everything, no matter what, because they were one of the first people to believe in the vision, you know, and put their money where their mouth is. So definitely wanted to give y'all flowers about that. And I'm so appreciative that we get to talk today and get to learn more about the Occupy Empire and what it was like for you transitioning from your 9-to-5. So let's go ahead and get started, because my listeners be ready to get down to the nitty-gritty. They want to know the good, the bad, the ugly. So give us a little bit of information about your background before you got into real estate, because everybody want to get into real estate. But tell us about, you know, your career path before then.
Yes. So I was an audio engineer before I started real estate. So I was heavy into the arts in elementary, middle. My mom forced me to be a dancer at the age of 3. She made me go into violin. If you're listening to this, mama, yes, she made me go into these things.
And, oh, because I was going to tell her.
Yes. And I played piano for 3 years, too. I was heavy into the arts, dance, violin, piano. And then I went to La Villa. If you're from Duval County, you already know it's an art school. But I went there for piano and then sort of transferred over into audio engineering and went from there to high school to college for audio engineering.
So what's audio engineering?
Okay, let's break it down. So audio engineering is when you see all the cool people in the booth at the concerts, or at the shows and stuff, that's the audio engineer and the lighting technician. So they're always going to be like the background of everything. So all the control, all everything that you hear, every speaker that's in the air, every microphone that's on, we control all of that. We mix it, make sure it sounds good, make sure there's no feedback, because we hate feedback, right, Tia?
Right.
So that is like, so when I go places and I hear feedback, it'd be bothering me still a little bit. So that is audio engineering in a simple format. We do a whole lot of other stuff, but we won't dive into that this time. But So yes, I did audio engineering in college, and then I left college early and went on tour. So touring was like the best time of my life. I was traveling everywhere. I was traveling to the French Polynesian Islands, to Europe for free, living on the ship for free. You know, it was like really the best time. And so during COVID, everybody, you know, got shut down. We're out touring in the US and we had no idea what was actually going on. We just thought it was all fun and games. We were like, oh, COVID, somebody sick. You know, we didn't actually know people was dying at the time because we were so shut down to the world up until we got to our last stop on tour. And they basically came out before our show and shut everything down. Mm. Everybody got flight tickets home. And so we literally had a day to pack up all of our stuff and head home. And so that was like a scary feeling because we were actually supposed to go to South Africa and never made it there for our next stop on tour. So we were like, okay, we'll be back in a few months. But everything really got shut down during COVID. And so during that time, I was also studying for my real estate license and got my real estate license, knowing that I was gonna head back to tour at some point, not knowing that COVID was really like, no, you're not going nowhere. Right. So that was like the turning point of my career.
You want to know what's so funny? How everybody took COVID as a joke in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody really took it serious. And then we just all, like, everybody was just betting on when it would end. Because I remember when COVID first started, I kept saying, oh, well, by my birthday, you know, the world, God gonna bless Taurus because he favors Taurus. So
that is a lie.
Because he favors tourists, so we'll be able to, you know, be up and running by the time my birthday. And then literally, like, it had been like a couple years where it was just like, okay, the world still shut down. Like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, this is real. This is serious. And I don't know if people remember, but if you attended the first Manifesting Over Mimosas in 2019. Now, people love to joke and say, I'm the queen of manifestation, and if I say something gonna happen, it's gonna happen, and which I do believe in that. That's why I'm very intentional about my words. I say what I mean and mean what I say. But I feel like I prepared my audience for COVID, and I was very intentional about all the speakers and the lineup that we had. And I was extremely intentional about having someone come and educate our guests about budgeting, because I just felt like you never can get all of these people in one room to talk about budgeting, talk about resumes, talking about building your personal brand, and a lot of other different things that we talked about that first year. I can't really remember off the top of my head because we've just grown so much. But I feel like, you know, we talked about having an emergency fund, putting money to the side, building your resume, not pledging your allegiance to a job, because if they ever, you know, said, well, we're going to cut your water off, we don't need you anymore, you wouldn't feel like your hands were tied or your back was against the wall, and you could move on gracefully,
right,
with no attachments. And then, boom, COVID hit. And I think people thought I was crazy when I was like, nah, I'm preparing y'all in case the world shut down, in case the worst happens. I literally said this out my mouth the entire time I was planning this event, and during the event, I kept saying it. And there were people who even, you know, was crazy enough to tell me, like, that'll never happen. Like, you keep saying the world gonna shut down, or, you know, what if your job, you know, do some layoffs and blah, blah, blah. And, like, I just wish when COVID hit, I would remember it then, like I'm remembering now, to kind of mm-hmm. circle back to those people and was like, now what you said?
So you saying that you manifested COVID?
I did not. Don't say it that way, okay? Do not say it that way. I manifested security for my people in mm-hmm. case the worst case scenario. Like, I wanted my people to be in a position to be prepared, you know what I'm saying, in case something bad happened. And something bad did happen. That's why I know what I'm doing is God ordained. Make no mistake about it. Why Tanisha over here trying to make me sound like I manifested a whole pandemic.
Right. Yeah, that was a scary time. And I was not in a secure place. Like, I was out living my best life in my early 20s, you know, just out drinking, on tour, doing what people on tour do. And mm-hmm. we got paid, you know, a couple of months, like, after we were left from tour, but our health insurance got cut off. There was just like no answers. And to be left in a situation like that, where somebody's in so much control of your funds, and so much in control of your health, your finances and everything, not knowing, that was like the scariest point. And I think that's what like sort of changed my mindset. And I still have love for audio engineering, but I will say that my love sort of like faded a lot as things like went on and we didn't know anything.
Right. So to your point about having control, you know, like I always love to say, I'm a Taurus, I cannot be controlled. You were living like a rock star. Like you were a rock star in your early 20s before you became a professional woman with the her arms folded in the photos, right?
Yes.
So, and that's like a lot of people. And I think like, you know, we need to drive that message home in that part in this podcast today for people to understand like rainy days do happen and it can happen to anybody. So I felt the same way about corporate. I always felt that way. Like I didn't want anybody to be in control of one, my finances, my health insurance. Mm-hmm. I didn't even like the idea of having to choose between my sick child or putting in a request for PTO.
Mm.
And not having enough PTO, so they forcing me to come to work. And, you know, I mean, I didn't really understand PTO or care about it anyways. Like, I'm going to call out regardless, but...
right.
Because that's just who I am. But that was what, like, that was one of my final straws with corporate when I was just like, nah, I'm not choosing between my kids or this job. Mm-hmm. And I slept so good. Like, of course, the idea of leaving was very scary.
Mm-hmm.
I hesitated for like months because I kept saying like, you know, I don't have nothing to fall back on. It's really just me. And did I believe in myself and my abilities to make money enough to say, hey, I'm willing to risk it all behind this crazy vision.
Right.
But the thing is, anytime I talked to God about my decision when it came to leaving my job, I had a business where I was doing business coaching and I had my snow cone truck. I kept saying like, okay, I'm gonna leave this job and give myself until June 2021 or something like that. That was my end date. That was the date I had to be gone because that was like summertime when my snow cone business would pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, every time I said like, every time I hesitated or thought that I wasn't, you know what I'm saying, capable of making money without the security of a 9-to-5, God blessed me with a booking. Like literally anytime I doubted myself or felt like, okay, I'm gonna stay on my job a little bit longer or even attempted to try to push the date back in my mind or yeah. Talked about it on the phone with a friend and was like, nah, I'm gonna do one more year. Like God would bless me with a booking. I'm talking about like every single time. And It was so crazy because at first I didn't like believe what was going on, but I just started paying attention and I'm like, okay, that's God really showing me like, hey, take the leap, I got you. And not only that, my job, like the environment got more and more toxic as time went on. And I was like literally losing my mind. Like that was one of the darkest times of my life where I was just like so depressed. I was pregnant. I was working a job that I absolutely hated. Them old cougars in that building was haters. So there was never room for me to like grow.
And they was cougars or what was the other word?
Thundercats. No, them was cougars. Them was Black Panthers. Them were Wildcats. Like, no. And people used to always tell me like your mind, you're too creative for this space. Like the way you think is too big to be in this building. So like you're going to suffocate yourself here. And I literally would walk in that building feeling like a zombie one, but like, I could not breathe. I just felt like I felt in that big old warehouse. I felt so claustrophobic. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm saying all that to say like how you felt like your circumstances were like you were pushed to entrepreneurship. I feel like I was called into entrepreneurship. Like I felt like it was something that I could not ignore because God kept making the situation more and more uncomfortable for me until I listened and trusted myself. Because, you know, I used to work at the post office and people don't really know that about me. That was one of my last jobs. And you want to know why I stayed at the post office as long as I stayed at the post office? And it's so crazy we're having this conversation because that's what we're going to talk about. Like, I stayed at the post office. I was trying to do 2 years there because I wanted to be a homeowner.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and I did not know anything about home ownership. I didn't know anything about being a homeowner as a full-time entrepreneur, what documents to produce. And me, I was looking, I'm like 23, 24 years old, 25, looking at the time, $300,000 houses. And, you know, those weren't no small houses back then. So I felt like I had to stay on this job, had to make all the money I could make working all these crazy hours, do this 2 years, get my paycheck stubs in order, just to be able to go get to the closing table and afford a home. So I had to tell myself, hey, Tia, you can't stay on this job stressing yourself out about to go crazy for an imaginary house that you don't even know is yours, right? So let me tell you, I know I'm getting real long-winded, but I got a point to make. So I got to this point of, hey, I'm not going to stay on this job for an imaginary house that I don't even know that I can get yet. I don't even know if I can qualify for it yet, right? And mind you, I was doing all those programs like NACA and everything, talking to lenders, trying to figure out what I could afford. Tell me why COVID hit, right? Mm-hmm. And the housing market like shot up. I'm talking about like shot up, like through the roof, like a house that was $300,000 at the time that I thought I was working all those years for and all those hours for. Honey, those houses started becoming $600,000 houses, $700,000 houses, and the $300,000 houses were like, you know what I'm saying, in the trenches.
Yes.
And I wasn't going to the trenches. So that was God saying, what bigger sign do you need? Leave this job, because that house getting further, the finish line to you becoming a homeowner is getting further and further and further away.
Yeah. I feel the same. Like with my transition, I always like wanted to own my own business. I always had a passion for event coordinating and just like coordinating in general. But I never believed that I could step out and do that on my own and make enough money to suffice or survive or whatever, or live the lifestyle that I was living. So that force, like, I feel like it was necessary, or I would have never moved. Like, I would have just stayed in my comfort zone, stayed in that position where I was being controlled by somebody else. And I'm glad it happened when it did, because I would have never like done any of the things that I've done or started any of the businesses that I've started now.
Absolutely. And you said something that made me think about this quote that I love saying, success is on the other side of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
People, we get so scared. We scared of change. We want to be in control of everything.
Yeah.
We don't understand the power of just flowing. Like, there's power in just flowing and letting God order our steps, because what you're scared of or what you are scared to attempt to do may be your golden ticket, and you don't even know it or don't even realize it.
Right. Yeah. I'm very glad that happened, because that pushed me way outside of my comfort zone. I was like, I gotta do what? I have to produce my own, you know, W-2s and all that stuff. I was like, what is this type of life?
Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's so funny, because I always tell myself, like, sometimes I have great days in business where I make a lot of money and I get extremely comfortable. And then I realize, like, hey, this money ain't gonna last forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to get back on my grind, because if I'm not working, I'm not eating, and I got kids to feed, so I can't afford to get comfortable. And like, that's always my driving force. A lot of people mentally, they cannot handle not making money into entrepreneurship. Like, right. They can't handle that. So how does that work for you? Because, you know, people want to get into real estate, and I'm sure somebody listening who's like, oh, snap, I've been thinking about real estate. Let me listen in a little closer.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that. Because I know y'all checks are kind of like, you know, y'all get some fat checks, you know, but like, are they like, how was that in the beginning? Because I know they weren't consistent in the beginning, or maybe they were. I ain't going to speak that against you, because maybe you're like a top selling agent. You know, I don't know that.
Yeah.
So, but tell us how that was for you.
So I will say, you have to build before you transfer into real estate. Like, you have to build those relationships before you get into real estate, because real estate is literally just who you know and what you know, really. If you can educate someone, and if you know someone to educate, then that is going to be your driving force of success and sustainability in real estate. Because when I first got in, I was like, okay, how do I get customers? But I already had all my customers. I really did hit the ground running when I started in real estate because of the relationships I had built all around the world. So it was people in different states, which is why I got licensed in multiple states. Yes, I'm licensed in multiple states. so that alone, like me building those relationships beforehand, helped my business. And that was me not knowing that that was what God was doing.
Right.
Moving all those people into my life, moving people from Canada, from Europe, and all these other people that were moving into the States or something like that, for a certain purpose. So you have to be able to build before you jump into it. And it's not something that you can jump into and you just like sit there and do nothing. You have to get out there and work. Yes, the checks are bigger, but if you only have one of those checks a month, then it becomes very 9 to 5 or paycheck to paycheck. So there's people who are making 6 figures in real estate, but because of all the fees, the taxes, they don't save their taxes and all that stuff. It becomes a paycheck to paycheck lifestyle. So you also have to find your niche and your lane in real estate. If you find your specific niche and run with that, you're going to be a lot more successful than trying to be all over the place and trying to be about everybody.
Right. Trying to be the queen of wholesaling, the real estate, residential, or the duchess of commercial. Like,
yeah,
you got to find your lane and thrive in it. But let me make a point right quick, Tanisha, because you said something earlier. And for me, I'm always looking for the lesson in anything I go through in life. And I'm always looking to see, you know, like I'm so big on full circle moments. Mm-hmm. So just think back, if your mom did not force you into music, you may not have ever pursued audio engineering that afforded you the opportunity to travel the world. And then if you think about it, when COVID hit, it pushed you into real estate. But your biggest checks or some of your first checks came from people that you built relationships with through your music. You know what I'm saying? Like your career in the music industry, where you were able to move people from Canada to the United States because they trust you, because those relationships you had built. People, you know, we always feel like, well, we wasted our life doing X, Y, and Z, or we weren't fulfilled doing X, Y, Z, but there's always like a reason behind everything. And I feel like if it wasn't for your career in music, and audio, like, I'm not saying you wouldn't have thrived as a entrepreneur in real estate, but that literally gave you a one up on probably every agent in the game right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That building those relationships is always going to be key. Like, I definitely appreciate my mom putting me into piano, putting me into dance, even though those were, you know, her childhood dreams.
Right. She was living through you. They do it.
But even people, and also I'm a military brat too. So that also forced a lot of relationships too, because I think that's really why my brothers and I thrive in connecting with people, because we would move like all the time. So we would have to find new friends, have to find new people to talk to and whatever. So that forced us to be the type of people that we are today. So while at the time I hated being a military brat and hated moving, and every time I got comfortable, we had to move and it was uncomfortable again. I used to hate that. Like when I was younger, I did not understand it. And now to this day, I still talk to people and tell them like, I'm so grateful for those moments and so grateful for those transitions, because I would probably be in a shell if I didn't have those moments.
Right. I love that. I think that's, I hope people are paying attention and like, it's making you reflect on like something that you've done in your life that is literally preparing you for your next level, or preparing you for the next step in your life that you're going to take, that you might be scared of the whole time. Like, you're more equipped than the next person is, and you don't even realize it, because I feel that way about so many things that I'm involved in, from what I do with the teams and with entrepreneurship, like my nonprofit. And Tanisha sits on my board.
I do.
She sits on the board for I Am The Prize Incorporated. And I think about like things that I did in my childhood, where I was afforded certain opportunities that most kids never had access to. And it's literally at first, well, I always been like outgoing and very different and very mm-hmm. open-minded. But some stuff I did growing up, like I felt like it was a punishment, or I felt like my mom was just doing anything to keep me out of trouble. But now I realize, like, you know, I needed that access to those type of things early. So I know, like, now I walk in rooms like, oh, I'm confident in being here because I can play the game. I understand the language. Like, I know I don't right. have to be 50, 60 years old to do X, Y, and Z or to accomplish something. I know I don't have to be white or another race to get ahead or be ahead. It's like, I'm just comfortable doing a lot of things that most people my age aren't comfortable doing because of access. Like, they didn't have mm-hmm. access to it young, so it's foreign to them now. So, yeah, I definitely want y'all to, like, I don't know, use this as a moment after listening to this podcast to reflect on, like, what have you been through in your past that has, like, literally prepared you for your next step in life. And I think I'm going to make that a thing with the podcast, too, like a reflection moment, because that was mm-hmm. kind of cool. Like, you inspired me in this episode, Tanisha.
You inspire me every day, baby.
Oh, girl, do not be trying to butter me up. What do you want? Because you still got to be in this board meeting at 7:30. So what do you want?
Yes. Listen, Tia is like big sister to me. Like, when I tell you, she is like, and I'm not saying this to butter you up.
Okay.
And this is the only time I'm going to say this, so you better record it.
Okay. Let me listen.
But for real, Tia is like one of the people that I look up to. Like, the way she moves, the way she operates, that's like how I like to operate and how I like to move, because of the way she is able to connect with people and be genuine with people and have no ill intentions. Like, that is the part of relationship building that people forget about. Yes, you're trying to build relationships in your business and whatever to make some money, but there are just genuine people that you cannot cannot see no ill in. And Tia is one of those people. I've never seen no type of wrongdoing with her, and everything that she does is intentional and has a lot of purpose. So when I say, like, I look up to you for real.
Do not make me cry, okay?
Ain't no crying on the podcast. This Tia versus Fancy Cash. Fancy Cash don't cry.
Thugs don't cry, so I'm not going to do that. But no, I definitely appreciate you giving me my flowers. You know I'm so big on that. So let me give you your flowers before we wrap up. So like I said, I have always, you know, loved and appreciated your entire family for always pouring into my vision, not even knowing me from a can of paint, but saying, here, like, we want to see you be the best version of yourself because of the impact that you're making. So I'm going to always love y'all for that. But just you personally, you know, I'm so iffy when it comes to, like, making friendships and building relationships, because I'm always thinking, like, okay, what do this person want from me? And since mm-hmm. day one, it's always been, well, what can I do to make your life easier, Tia? And, like, that means so much to me because I don't just hand off stuff. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a control freak, so I don't just hand off projects or parts of my business or my personal life to anybody and be like, oh, here, I trust you with it. But I have been able to trust you with my personal business, business. And for that, like, I'm just so grateful for you, and there's nothing you cannot ask me for, because, like, that's one of the things that just means the most to me in any relationship I have right now in this season. It's just feeling safe with somebody, and I feel mm-hmm. safe with you. I feel safe with your family, like, the way they embrace me, and, you know, I'm so, like, I'm like, I don't want to say I'm a wild card, but, like, I'm just so different. Like, I'm not, like, what you would consider, what most people feel like have the look, the traditional look of success. Mm-hmm. And, like, y'all believe in me as if I was, like, this, you know, like, this big time Oprah or somebody.
Because,
like,
you are. Big Tia, not a little one.
Yeah, so, I'm just so thankful for y'all. And I'm so glad we finally got to do this episode today. Cause like I said, you inspired me. You gave me some new stuff, some new fuel to bring to the table for the I'm the Prize podcast. So yeah, we ain't gonna get too much more mushy. I'm gonna let these people enjoy their Monday.
I got one thing though.
Okay.
So something you just said, you know, about us believing in your vision and manifesting our mimosas. I gotta tell you, I don't think I ever told you this, but When I first saw, I didn't see the first one, but the second one in 2020, right?
21.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 2021. Yeah. So I remember like following you when I first followed you. I didn't really know who you were. I didn't know like what you had going on, but I remember seeing Manifesting Mimosas and sending it in our brokerage group chat and was like, we got to go here. I had no idea like what it was like and what to expect or anything, but I just saw like because of the marketing, the brand, everything that you was putting out, all the educational pieces and everything, I was like, I gotta be in this room. I don't know why, I don't know who, but I was like, I'm gonna be there. And then from that point on, like, that was like when we sort of sparked, like, okay, we gotta be in the building, but we gotta be in the building for real.
Oh my God.
That was like, yeah, everything that you put out is like so genuine and makes people want to be there. So if you're not at Manifesting Mimosas this year, I don't know what to tell you, baby.
Yeah, and you know, it's so crazy like how our friendship has evolved, because you went from not knowing who I was at all, mm-hmm. to attending my event, then becoming one of my biggest sponsors for my event. Now you sit on a board to like see, you know, how yeah. we really make the magic happen. And I got chills just thinking about that because
yeah, yeah, that is crazy. Full circle moment.
Yeah, no, for real, for real, for real. And I don't know, like, and it's like, it's not even something that we have to, like, you know, broadcast or, like, mm-hmm. make public, but, like, people have come to the event and have, like, done business with the brokerage or became realtors, you know, under the brokerage just yeah. from, you know, the relationships built just by being in the room or being connected to the right people. So, right. yeah, y'all some important people. I'm gonna make sure I stay on y'all good side. But yeah, so we're gonna let them go because we done had our whole powwow, heart to heart, kumbaya on this recording today. But this was needed. People need more of this, like giving other women their flowers and just loving on each other and just being like bold about telling other women, I see you, I appreciate you, I love what you're doing. How can I be of service to you and help you grow as a woman, as an entrepreneur, as a person? So we're going to wrap up this episode of the I Am the Prize podcast. And if you absolutely love this show, please leave us a review on the Apple Podcast app. And before we go, Tanisha, can you please tell the people, all of our 100,000 listeners that I'm so proud of, where to find you at and they can connect with you later?
Yes, you can find me on all platforms, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. Yes, we's on LinkedIn too. YouTube and all the above at Tanisha Tutt. TineshaTutt, not like King Tut, but I am the queen.
Oh my goodness, here she go with these ad libs, these bars. Well, okay, Miss Tanisha F, baby, it was so nice for having you on the podcast, and we will see y'all next Monday.